We were speaking about the two levels of Yiras Hashem, of love of fear of Hashem. And we said in the language of the Zohar, language of the Tanya, in Aramaic, Yira Tata'a and Yira Ilah, the lower level of fear of Hashem, the higher level of fear of Hashem. We explained, Alter Rebbe explained, that in the lower level of fear of Hashem, there is also two levels of fear. And let's just repeat that for a moment, and then we'll move on to what we have here. So the Alter Rebbe explained to us that in order to do a mitzvah properly, you have to have your mind in the right place. What that means is that if you're not going to be doing a mitzvah for self-serving purposes, or even just to get motivated, just to do the right thing when we're focused, when we're so inundated with our everyday life, you have to have a certain sense of awe of God. If you're not in a certain sense afraid or embarrassed of your boss or of your parent or of your friend or of, you know, just society in general, what's going to motivate you to do something that's a little bit difficult or a little bit out of your comfort zone? And our comfort zone, unfortunately, our natural comfort zone is to be materialistic and to be selfish and to be self-serving. It's not in our comfort zone initially to be doing great things and selfless things and mitzvah things and holy things. And we'd rather sit on a couch and eat ice cream and, you know, whatever it is. So that is the question. And the answer is, well, the motivation is Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. And the fear of Hashem, we define as the lower level of fear of Hashem, has two levels. The first level of fear of Hashem is a simple level of understanding and knowing that God is your creator. Hashem is the boss. God creates and Hashem gives you life. And therefore, you should be, at the very least, you should be wanting to do what your creator, the entity who is the source of your life, is commanding you to do, is asking you to do. So that's the first initial level of Yiras Hashem, meaning not to rebel against your boss, not to rebel against your mother, your father, your parent, your friend who just sacrificed his or her life for you. If they ask you to do something, you're afraid to rebel against them. You're afraid to do something that will make them upset at you. That is the first initial level of Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. This second level of fear of Hashem, which is still in the lower level, still in what's called Yirat HaTzah, is a fear of Hashem that comes from a meditation, a contemplation, a thinking, an understanding of how great Hashem is. So it's clear that it's not the same, the reaction and the motivation that a person has to do something good and something right, when you really don't want to do it, when you're really being pushed the other way by your baser impulses. So it's clear that if the only impulse is because you have a sense of gratitude, you have a sense of obligation, you have a sense of, if I don't do this, I'm really a no good Nick. There's really a problem with me. That's a motivation, and it does work, you know, in the case of a friend or a parent. You know, I'm not going to make my parents gave up their whole life for me. They brought me into this world. They're asking me to do this thing. At the very least, I should do. So that it's a motivation. It is. But let's say you take it up a notch, and let's say you're able to meditate, and you're able to contemplate, able to think. You're able to understand how powerful and how great and how wonderful that individual is. So now it's not simply your own sense of self obligation, but now it's an appreciation for what the other person represents. So, for example, you say that my parents are really, really beautiful, wonderful people. They're not just my parents who brought me into this world who I'm going to fight with. No. They're amazing people. I wish I could be like them. And they ask me to do this, and they tell me that this is how I should live my life. For sure, I'm going to do that because I understand how great they are. And I understand now how I don't want to disappoint them because they're so. So this is a higher level. It could be a parent, it could be a friend, it could be a teacher, it could be whatever. No, just society in general. In this case, we're talking about a mitzvah, so it's Hashem. So when a person meditates, Elder Rebbe says, on how great God is, how great Hashem is, Hashem creates all the worlds, and Hashem gives life to all the worlds. So it's not just a God who's giving me personal life, not just a certain sense of personal obligation, but God is great, God is powerful, God is all-knowing, God is, you know, all-knowing, all-seeing, all this. How could I not do what Hashem asked me to do? But this is all still the lower level of fear, because it comes from a sense of my understanding, a sense of myself. It's still all based on myself, my appreciation, my feeling, my understanding. So again, why am I doing the mitzvah? I'm doing the mitzvah because I understand that it's right to do the mitzvah. I understand that it would be terrible, terrible ingratitude for me not to do the mitzvah. I understand that Hashem would be very disappointed in me if I don't do it. So it's all my understanding. That's the lower level of fear. We said that there is then moving up to Yira Ilah, the higher level of fear. We explained that the higher level of fear is not that you're afraid of disappointing the person. Not that you're afraid of, we're not even talking about the base level, which is you're afraid of getting punished. That's like really baby talk. We're way beyond that. Even in the lower level of fear, of Yiras Hashem, a fear of God, we're beyond just the fear of burning in hell, fear of being punished. We're talking about fear of disappointing, fear of, you know, more mature types of self-respect, fear of losing my self-respect, fear of not being the person who I really should be. So this is all the lower level of fear. So what's the higher level of fear? Yirei Lah. So we explain that Yirei Lah means a fear which is not a fright, but it's a certain sense of deep, deep awe, an overwhelming, all-encompassing, all-permeating sense of awe when we stand in front of an entity that is absolutely miles greater than we could ever hope to be. So, for example, if a person stands in front of a great tzaddik, and you act differently, you think differently, you make up in your mind, I'm going to be the best person I can be from now on. I mean, a minute later, you go home and you become the same person, more or less, or whatever. But still, standing in front of the tzaddik, standing in front of this really incredibly holy, holy person, you say, I got to be different. My whole life has to be different. I am nullified. I'm like nothing. If a person is a musician standing in front of the greatest musician that you could only imagine, your idol musician, whoever it is, you're afraid to pick up your violinist, you're afraid to pick up your bow, you're afraid to put your hands on the strings of the guitar. You think that you're going to be blown out of the water by this guy's look, by this person's look, and you're absolutely nothing. You're a scientist, and you're going to open your mouth in front of this great scientist. So it's not, you're not afraid anymore of disappointing. It's not about yourself. The contrary, you don't exist because you're so overawed. You're so in the shadow of this great entity, this great person who you have incredible respect for. In this case, we're talking about God. So once we have an understanding, once we have a meditation and a contemplation and a true sense of appreciation of how great Hashem is, then we are completely overawed. We're completely beside ourselves. And that's the higher level of Yira, the higher level of fear of Hashem, where it's called in the language of Tanya, the language of the Kabbalist, it's called Yirei Boses. Yirei Boses means a fear that is coming from a deep sense of deep-seated humility, deep-seated, not shame, even though the word boshes in Hebrew means shame, but a deep sense of how tiny, how insignificant we are, and how great and how awesome Hashem is. That is the higher level of fear, level of Yirei Lah. And we explained, the Alter Rebbe told us, that without the without the preface of Yiras of Chachma, without the preface of Chachma, it is impossible to have this higher level of Yira. That means without a level of understanding, how can a person, if we're saying now that a person is a human, a Jew, is absolutely overawed by the greatness of Hashem, similar and but 100 million times more than a regular person who is standing in front of their biggest idol. They can't open your mouth. You can't move your feet. You're about ready to faint if that person looks your way. Why? Well, what's the big deal? Well, what? That's another human being. So, but the reason is because every single thing that you ever imagined is it would be in it. If you looked up in the word dictionary, you looked at the word great, you looked up the word awesome, you looked at the word amazing. Every single thing in the dictionary would be this individual who you think is great, awesome, amazing. This is your idol. This is your star. This is who you live for. How much more so, million times more so, is Hashem. So when a person has a deep sense of appreciation for Hashem, then you have, for God and power that Hashem creates the world, then it's, of course, then you are led to have this certain sense of Yirei Boshes, of incredible sense of inadequacy, it's a kind of sense of humility, incredible sense of inconsequential existence, that we are absolutely a speck of dust and less than a speck of dust, we're nothing. So that's the higher level of Yirah. So therefore, now we understand the two levels of Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. First level, Yirat HaTov, which has itself two levels. One is the normal, natural impulse not to rebel against our Creator, and the second is a fear of disappointing Hashem based on understanding how great God is. But then, of course, we talked about the higher level, and that is the higher level comes from a deep sense of humility and inadequacy and complete not existence. We are just a simple speck, completely, completely nullified because Hashem is so great. And how could we do anything that is against Hashem's will if God is so great and we are nothing? Now, the Rebbe is now telling us that in order to reach this higher level of fear, you must have the preface of Chachma. And Chachma literally means knowledge. Wisdom, knowledge. And we're talking about how do you get to this higher level of Yirei Lahav.
Okay,
so we
thank
defined
you.
Two levels. We did define the two levels. And now we want to know, okay, how do you get it? How do you move to that level? Right? So we defined the levels, and now we're going to talk about how do you get to the level. So Alter Rebbe says, concerning this level of fear, meaning this Yira Ilah, this level of incredible sense of nullification of before Hashem's greatness, a feeling that we are a speck of dust, that we're nothing before God. In order to have this, you must have Chachma to proceed. Chachma must be, what is Chachma? So Chachma is a Hebrew word, which means wisdom. That's what it means, knowledge, wisdom. But in Hebrew, the words aren't just agreed upon words, meaning in English and every other language, in Russian, Spanish, French, whatever it is, the words are sounds that people made up, that a banana should be banana. Why is a banana banana? I don't know why banana. It could be a carrot is a banana. It could be a tree is a chair, and a chair is a tree, and you can make up any word you want. That's not the way it works in Hebrew. The way it works in Hebrew is more similar to the scientific notation where H2O is water and CO2 is carbon dioxide and so on. The Hebrew words are actually, the letters of the Hebrew words are actually descriptions of what that thing is. It's not just, in Hebrew we say, it's not just heskemi. It's not just something agreed upon sounds that are pointing to a certain thing that everybody understands. When you make these sounds out of your mouth, you mean this thing. That's not the way it works in Hebrew. So in Hebrew, the word chachma, which means wisdom, is made up of two words. And the two words are koach ma, koach ma. You take the word chachma and you break it down into two words. Literally, right in the middle, it's koach ma, which means the power of what? Koach, the power, ma, of what? In other words, chachma, which is true wisdom, is the concept of self-nullification. the ability to be humble. True wisdom is not a person who's arrogant, not a person who believes that they know it all and they are all, but the opposite. A true wise person is a person who recognizes how much yet there is to learn, how far they are from knowing everything about the subject. As a beginner person thinks that they know everything, a true savant, a true expert, a true genius understands that the level of knowledge required to know everything is impossible to attain, and therefore they know nothing. And therefore, when you're a true wise person, you're humble, because if you're taking a look at how much you know, and you're taking a look at how much more there is to know, and you recognize it's impossible for you to ever know everything, then you're humble. That's what it is. Then I don't know everything. So that's why it says our chachma is koachma, level of nullification, which is term ma. The Alter Rebbe quotes a pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu says, we are ma, we are humble. He tells the Jewish people, what do you want from us? Why are you complaining? Well, you don't have water, you don't have this, you don't have that. We're nothing. Go complain straight. Go talk to Hashem. Don't complain to us. So this is the concept of ma, of nothing. Chachma comes from ayin, from nothingness. And for this reason, chachma is ayin and nullity. And the Rebbe is quoting here the concept that chachma, true wisdom, comes from a sense where previously the individual is completely humble. In order to accept, in order to receive, you have to be open to receiving. We all know this. You're talking to somebody and you're explaining something to them. Are they listening to you? No, they're not. Why not? Because they have an idea in their head that's already there in their head. Do you say, open your mind a little bit. Listen to what I'm telling you. Stop with your preconceived notions. You know, you tell your kid or your friend or whatever, listen, open up and be open to my line of reasoning. So therefore, this is what it means. Chachma has to come from humility. It has to come from putting your own line of reasoning on the side for a moment at least, and then listening to what somebody else has to say. And then that's why chachma comes from ayin, comes from nothingness. It comes from a sense of humility. If you have humility first, then you can have chachma, wisdom will follow it. Now, the Alter Rebbe will make a big deal about this next statement, which is a statement from the Mishnah. The sages say in the Mishnah, who is wise? He who sees that which is born and created. That's not what it means literally. Literally, it means who is a smart person? A person who recognizes the effect of what they're about to do. That's a smart person. Ezeh Chacham, who is a wise person? A ro'eh who sees et ha'nolad, that which is going to come, that which is going to be the result of their action, the result of their speech, the result of what they're saying. So if you really want to know a true person, a truly smart person, the Mishnah says, somebody who is looking ahead and is recognizing that what they're doing is having a result, and they know what that result is going to be, that's a really smart person. All right, fine. That's what the Mishnah says. The Alter Rebbe says you have to read this Mishnah on a deeper level also. That's the simple level, simple meaning, that a smart person understands the future result. But you have to read it also on another deeper level, and it's in the past. Who is a wise person who knows how the entire world and how creation came into being? So the Alter Rebbe reads it at a much deeper mystical level. Wise person understands that the entire creation of the world, everything that's around us, including ourselves, the Alter Rebbe is about to say, we are simply a creation from Hashem that has no self power to be standing on our own. We are emanations. We are, the Alter Rebbe is going to say, like the light of the sun that comes out of the sun, where the sunlight has to be constantly re-emitted from the sun. There's no such thing as sunlight that exists without a sun that's shining right now. In the same sense, we are emanations from Hashem. We are a hologram, essentially. We are a projection from Hashem's energy. We don't have a self-existence that stands on our own like for example, a sculptor that makes a sculpture, an architect, a builder who builds a house. The builder goes to sleep. The builder goes to another country, and the house is still standing. That's not the way the world works, Alter Rebbe says. The world is an emanation, a hologram, a projection of Hashem, and is constantly being re-emitted. And if not for Hashem constantly re-emitting the world would stop existing the same way sunlight would stop existing. If the sun were to go beyond below the horizon, there's nowhere sunlight. That's it, finished. So that's what happens. Once sunlight has left the sun, the note says here, you can perceive actual rays and illumination. When the light of the sun is in the sun, the light of the sun doesn't exist for itself. So too, all created beings are nullified in their source. What is the source? The word of Hashem that creates them ex nihilo, which means from nothing. When a person will ponder this matter, it will so affect him that his nullification to Hashem will be at the level of bitul demetzios, which we previously defined is a complete self-nullification. You don't exist. This is the higher level of yira, the higher level of fear, where you are completely not existing. The Alter Rebbe says that not only does the creation of the worlds work this way, but you, yourself, me, myself, each one of us works this way too. You shouldn't accept yourself from this principle, meaning once you understand that the entire world is created this way, then just think a little bit and think, even though you're the one understanding, but you yourself also don't really exist, even though you're the one understanding this thing. And by the way, the Alter Rebbe previously said, and it's important to recognize, that there are two parts to this understanding. The first part to this understanding is that the world is an emanation, is a projection, is a hologram, just like the sun has sunlight, the world has, the world is projected. The second part of understanding this is that the world is simply Hashem's speech. The emanation itself could be, it is possible, that it would have been possible that Hashem should create an emanation that should stand on its own, because Hashem can do everything. It doesn't have to be that the world should be a hologram that doesn't have its own self-reliable sense of continuity in and of itself. Hashem, who's all-powerful, could have created a world that is standing on its own, and doesn't therefore need the constant support of a creator re-energizing it every instant. But the Torah tells us that Hashem did not create the world that way, because the Torah says, "Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu," which means by the word of Hashem, the heavens were made. This is, an entire world, earth is Vayomar Hashem. Hashem said, let there be light. Hashem said, let there be. This, the reason that the Torah uses the expression Hashem said, and the Torah uses the word, the expression by the words of Hashem, heaven and earth were created, is not just because it's a cute way of saying it, not just because it's poetic, but because it's literal that Hashem made the world in the same way that we have speech, just like our speech doesn't exist unless we are saying the word, and that speech itself is something that is ephemeral. Ephemeral means it's not something you can touch, not something that stands on its own. So too, all of the worlds, the Torah describes as Dibur Hashem, as speech of Hashem. And that is, again, not just a nice way of writing, but it's a precise way of writing. It means that the Torah is trying to teach us, is teaching us that the world, in fact, was not created by Hashem in a way that it could stand on its own. It must constantly be resupplied, replenished, re-emitted, just like the rays of light that come from the sun. And therefore, when a person has, this is what we're talking about in the Pirkei Avos and Ethics of the Fathers, when it says, "Im ein chachma ein yira." If there's no chachma, you can't have yira. We just defined that chachma means koachma. Koachma means certain type of self-humility, self-nullification. So if a person doesn't have this type of self-nullification, and a person therefore doesn't recognize that they themselves and the entire world is an emanation of Hashem, then how are you going to reach this level of being completely nullified before Hashem? Obviously, it's impossible. It's impossible unless you are certain, completely overawed by the power and the majesty of creation. It's impossible to reach the higher level of Yira Ilah. And therefore, understanding the power and the majesty of creation is a prerequisite to Yira Ilah. And that is what we're explaining right now. So spoke about, therefore, this is what is meant by the verse, behold the fear of God, that is wisdom. However, the Alter Rebbe says, one cannot attain this fear of wisdom except by means of fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs. So let's talk about this for a moment. So just to recap, we spoke about the two levels of Yira. We spoke about the two levels there also. We explained so far that the prerequisite to attaining the higher level of Yira, which is called fear of Hashem, which is called Yira Ilah, the higher level of Yira, the prerequisite to obtaining that is first of all, as a baseline, you have to be extremely humble. Koachma, chachma means koachma. You cannot be arrogant. You cannot be a person who is stopped up. You have to be completely understanding completely recognizing and realizing that our understanding is nothing, that we understand nothing. And we're simply at the beginning of a long, long journey. And then you have to meditate and understand the deepness of the fragility of the world, the fact that the world doesn't exist on its own, and it's simply an emanation, it's a hologram projection, like rays of light that come from the sun. And Hashem is the one who is giving life to the world. And if you can really appreciate that, then you begin to have the opportunity and the ability to have an overwhelming sense of Yira, of awe of Hashem, that will, in the language of the Alter Rebbe, lead to bitul b'metzius, which means a complete sense of self-nullification, that you don't exist at all. Now, Alter Rebbe says that it's impossible to obtain all these levels that we're talking about just by meditation, just by contemplation. So a person can think, what does this mean? It means like this. A person can think everything that I'm talking about right now, everything we're describing, is all intellectual. It's philosophy. So let me sit and philosophize, and let me meditate in my meditation chair or my meditation place. You know, I'll curl up in a ball. I'll go outside to the forest and I'll a beach or my house or whatever. And I'll meditate, and I'll meditate and meditate and meditate about how great Hashem is, how wonderful Hashem is, and I will reach this level. Why, if the purpose of existence is to reach this level of attachment to Hashem, why do I have to do mitzvahs? Where does studying Torah come into the picture? Where does doing mitzvahs come into the picture? If I can reach a level of self-nullification just by thinking, by philosophizing, why do I have to do the mitzvahs? Why are the mitzvahs so important? Let me just philosophize, and I'll have this amazing, wonderful relationship with my creator. I'm going to be completely nullified, completely beside myself, and bittul b'metzios, and God will love me. Who needs mitzvahs? So the Rebbe says, however, one cannot attain this sphere and wisdom except by means of fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs through Yira Tata, through the lower level of Yira. And the reason is as follows. The energy that Hashem puts into the world is a limited amount of energy. Just like a person cannot pick themselves up by their own bootstraps, what that means is you can't lift yourself by putting your feet on the ground and pulling at your shoelaces. You're not going to be any higher than your feet are already on the ground. You're not going to, unless you jump. By pulling at your shoes and your shoelaces, all his expression goes, you know, you can't lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. So you can't pick yourself up because you're stuck to the ground. You're not going to be higher than, you cannot be any higher than you are right now? How are you going to go higher? What's going to be your lift? Everybody understands, you want to drive a car, you have to put gasoline in the tank. You got to combust something, you got to burn something, you got a little battery, something. You want to fly in the air, you have to have some energy that's propelling you. Otherwise, we don't know how to fly. Even birds who know how to fly, they have to flap their wings and get the air to push them up. And, you know, there's a process. Now, the Rebbe says the same thing is true of us Jews. At the end of the day, we're human beings. At the end of the day, we are created entities. And how can we obtain a level of understanding of Hashem's greatness without having some fuel, without having energy that is propelling us to have this understanding? Just based on what we already have inside of us, that's not enough. That we are dealing with the energy that's already in the world. The energy already in the world is limited. If you study Torah, and if you do mitzvahs, Torah and mitzvahs, that is Hashem's will, Hashem's desire, Hashem's way of thinking. And that is energy that is greater than the energy that Hashem put into the creation of the world. So therefore, on a very simple level, a very simple way of understanding this, if you want to get into an airplane and fly away and your tank is empty, you're not going anywhere. If you want to obtain this higher level of yira, and the only way to obtain deeper appreciation of understanding of how great Hashem is by climbing higher than the energy that's in the world itself. Otherwise, you're bound to the lower level of yira. The lower level of yira is wonderful in that it motivates you to do the mitzvahs, but it will not suffice to have this type of bittul b'metzius, this type of complete self-nullification that comes only from an overwhelming sense of appreciation of how great and how amazingly powerful the Creator is, much more than the world that Hashem creates. Because the lower level of Yira, by its very nature, is tied to the world. We don't want to make Hashem upset at us because Hashem is our creator. So therefore, it's tied to creation. As long as we are tied to creation, as long as our relationship with God is only based on the dimension of how God is the creator and we are the created, then we're limited by the deepest appreciation we can approach, we can reach how great the process of creation is. You understand? In other words, you cannot appreciate more than you appreciate. So if all you have in front of you, it's like saying a person who only understands two-dimensional objects cannot appreciate three-dimensional objects. A person who doesn't understand music cannot appreciate the depths of music, plain and simple. You could appreciate, if you appreciate movement, you can appreciate the musicians moving, you can appreciate what you can see, but you can't appreciate, they say there's a ringtone that people over 40 can't hear. So you can't hear it. You're over 40, your ears can't get that ringtone. And all day long, the kids of below 40 are making fun of the teachers because the cell phones are going off with this ringtone. And they're all giggling and all laughing. And the teacher is standing there and can't understand what's going on because the teacher can't hear it. Plain and simple. So we can only appreciate what's in front of us. As long as we're tied to the world, as long as our understanding of God is that God is great because he's a creator, God is great because of the world. So then that's it. That's our max. That's the max we can be in a sense of awe. Once we, however, fulfill mitzvahs, once we study Torah, and now we're not only meditating about the world itself and how God is the creator of the world, how the world is so fragile. And so once we, however, do mitzvahs, now we're already associating with energy that is greater than the energy that Hashem put into the world. And that, therefore, the fulfillment of mitzvahs and the study of Torah gives us an ability to go higher than the limitations that ordinary human beings are limited. It makes us literally immortal. It makes us literally unlimited. It introduces us to aspects of energy that are absolutely beyond. And that's why we become completely nullified. Because when you are faced with something that is greater than you, then your mind is blown. Your sense, your emotions are completely overwhelmed. Well, then of course you don't feel yourself. Then it becomes a natural product and becomes cause and effect. And this is, of course, this is what happens. So the Rebbe is explaining to us step by step how this process works. If your mind is blown and you're completely overwhelmed and everything that is, so then you don't feel yourself. Then you feel like you're a nothing. Sometimes it's on the bad side, if God forbid something terrible is happening. But if it's on the good side, the most amazing, wonderful thing is happening. In that moment, you're jumping for joy like a crazy person. Ordinarily, you would never see, you'd never be jumping this way in public. Ordinarily, you'd never be screaming this way in public. But because you're completely overwhelmed with happiness, with winning the lottery, I don't know, whatever it is, you are now completely, you're not yourself anymore. You're overwhelmed. And this is what the Altarev is describing as Yirah Ilah, the higher level of appreciation for Hashem, which comes from a complete sense of being overwhelmed by the spirituality of the essence of Hashem, the will of Hashem, the knowledge of Hashem that is expressed through Torah and mitzvahs, and that is greater and higher than the energy that Hashem puts into the world, because as we just explained, the energy Hashem puts into the world is an emanation, is a hologram, is a projection, is Devar Hashem, is Dibur, is speech. The energy Hashem puts into Torah mitzvahs is essence of Hashem. It's higher and greater than that. The Rebbe will now continue and teach us that just as we have said that there are two levels in Yiras Hashem, so too in fear of God, so too there are two levels in love of Hashem. And they parallel each other. They parallel each other in the way they're created and the way they are felt by the human being, by the Jew. They're not, and the Rebbe will also explain to us that it could also be that you can have fear of Hashem before love of Hashem and this and that. They don't necessarily go sequentially, although they generally do. So let's see what it says inside. The Rebbe continues now in love of Hashem too, because as we mentioned many times, the Torah tells us that there is a mitzvah to love Hashem. It says in the Shema, V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem. Just like it says in the Chumash, in the Torah, you should be in fear and awe of Hashem. Et Hashem Elokecha Tira, you should be in fear of Hashem. But there's also a mitzvah to love Hashem. So in love of Hashem, there are two grades, two levels. The two levels we're going to call Ava Rabba and Avas Ola. That's the terms, just like we call the two levels of fear, Yira Tata'a and Yira Ilah, which as I mentioned, simply means in Aramaic, there are Aramaic words, which means the lower level and the higher level, just Aramaic. You could say it in English too. Here, however, the fear, the levels are a little more descriptive, the terms. And it's Ava Rabba, which means great love, and Avas Olam, which means love that is forever. That's literally what it means. The literal meaning, Ava Rabba, great love, Avat Olam, love which is forever. And this is terms that we find in our davening. In the davening, the sages, the earliest sages, 2,500 years ago, when they scripted our prayers, they put these terminologies into the davening, Ava Rabba and Avas Olam. Ava Rabba means great love, Avas Olam, eternal love. Fine, these are words, but what does it really mean? What, these are terminologies, they're terms. So we have to define the terms. The Alter Rebbe is now going to define the terms. Ava Rabba is the higher level of love. And it is a love that is also known as Ava B'Ta'anugim, which means a love of God which delights in Hashem, a love of delight, a love of ecstasy. And similar to the Yira Ilah, which we explained that Yira Ilah, the higher level of fear, higher level of awe, is a level of awe where we are completely nullified. We don't exist. We're so overawed by the greatness of Hashem. As we said, it comes, does come through studying Torah and doing mitzvahs and an appreciation and a meditation and a contemplation. But at the end of the day, we reach this level where we're so overawed that we realize that we're a speck of dust. And we even think to ourselves, I'm not even a speck of dust. I'm just not here. God is, Hashem is all-encompassing. I don't even have an eye. The higher level of fear. When it comes to love, what's the difference between fear and love in general, right? The difference of fear and love is fear takes away what you are. It stops you from doing, on a lower level of fear, it stops you from acting a certain way. On a higher level of fear, it makes you recognize that you're not even here. You're nothing. Whereas love is, so fear makes you go away, makes you run away from whatever state you were before. Love makes you come closer. Love warms you up. And in this case, Ava B'Tanugim means that what is the delight of this neshama, of this individual? Only spirituality. There is nothing physical that can give this person any kind of excitement, any kind of pleasure, any kind of looking forward to, nothing physical at all. The only thing that this individual is excited and is motivated and moved by is spirituality, closeness to Hashem. It's easy to say those words, but if you really think about it for a minute, it's next to impossible to obtain. The Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us, in fact, it's impossible to reach based on your own work. You cannot work yourself into that state. This is a complete gift that Hashem gives to the greatest tzaddikim after you've really, really worked on yourself. And after you've accomplished amazing, amazing spiritual strides on your own with the doing mitzvahs in the woods, despite if it's difficult, and studying as much Torah as possible and completely rejecting any aspect of the physical world. Instead, every single time you're faced with doing a mitzvah, that's where you're running to. If you're really, really lucky, the Alter Rebbe says, Hashem will give us a glimpse of what this feels like. But really, the truth is, Alter Rebbe says, you're not going to have this sense of feeling until the soul and the body separate and the soul goes up to heaven, to Gan Eden, to paradise, because in that case, you're no longer tied at all to the physical. And then you can truly appreciate the spiritual. As long as a person is needing to rest, to eat, to drink, to sleep, that's what you want. That's what you like. We're not talking about a gluttonous person. We're not talking about a person who's doing anything wrong, but just enjoying taking a drink of water, enjoying going to sleep at night when you're tired. That is a problem already when it comes to Ava Rabba, which is all you're enjoying is spirituality and closeness to Hashem. As anything that helps the body and you have any kind of happiness from it already detracts from Ava B'Tanugim, which is this Ava Rabba, this great love for Hashem. So what can we reach? What we can reach is Avas Olam. Avas Olam, we explained, is I define for you means an eternal love. But the Alter Rebbe says, and it teaches us here, that Avas Olam has to also be understood on the literal translation of the word Avat Olam, and that means a love that comes from Olam, from the world. And again, this means a love for Hashem that comes from meditation and contemplation of how amazing Hashem is for giving us such an amazing world. On a simple level, nature, the world, our life. On a deeper level, spiritual worlds, mitzvahs, the energy in Torah, the energy in mitzvahs. According each person, according to their level of understanding, that is Avas Olam. That is possible to reach. Let's see a little bit inside. We're talking about Avas Rabba Rabba here first. The higher level of love is a fiery flame that rises of itself. Man cannot kindle this love within himself. It has to come forth spontaneously. It's a gift, Alter Rebbe says, to a person who is perfect in fear. Once you have reached the higher level of Yira, this sense of Yira where you're completely nullified, then Hashem can, if he chooses, give you a gift and yet open you up a little bit more to an appreciation for spirituality. As it is known from the saying of the rabbis, the way of the man to search for a woman, and this, we're talking about just ordinary marriage, but the Alter Rebbe uses this as a spiritual terms, love is called man or male. Why is that? Because as written, he has remembered his loving kindness. In Hebrew, every vowel, every verb is masculine or feminine. So Ava is, in this case, is love, is called masculine or feminine. A woman, the fear of Hashem is considered to be feminine. The connection is between male and female, and fear of God is alluded by the first. It says a God-fearing woman. This is the spiritual meaning of the saying, the way of a man to search for a woman, that the level of love for Hashem, which we say is, quote, masculine, is revealed from above to the individual. Whether that individual is male or female doesn't make a difference. But so love comes first when the woman is already present and complete, meaning when a person is already reached a higher level of fear of Hashem, the sense of self-nullification, complete self-nullification, Hashem can then give us a gift. Without the prerequisite of fear, it is impossible to obtain the level of Ava Rava, because the Alter Rebbe says, this love, in fact, comes from the highest of the four realms, the realm of Atzilus, the world of Atzilus. The world of Atzilus has no separation between materialism and spirituality, and therefore, a physical person cannot appreciate energy which has nothing to do with physicality. It's too great, too high, just like a person who doesn't understand advanced mathematics just can't understand it, plain and simple. You're not on that level. This is, let alone if it's it's in Chinese and you don't speak any Chinese. So the world of Atzilus has energy that we as human beings simply cannot comprehend. Abbas Olam, however, the second and lower level of love, does come from an understanding and knowledge. It does come from our own work that we can actually do. And according to that work, according to how much we put effort into trying to understand and our effort in trying to fulfill, that will affect our level of love of Hashem. So therefore, when it says, via haftat Hashem, it's you should love Hashem in the Shema, it means you should put energy and work into meditating, energy into contemplating, energy into doing, and then you will come to an appreciation of each person according to their level and according to how much energy you put in. When you meditate, Alter Rebbe says, how Hashem fills all the worlds and animates them, and Hashem encompasses all the worlds, as we explained many times, that there's a difference between the two levels of energy that Hashem puts into the world, which is called the Sovev energy, then the Mali energy. Energy which is according to the level where it is, energy which transcends the level and is yet more powerful. And we meditate that before Hashem, everything is accounted for and is nothing. And it's just like the nullity of one utterance, just like a person utters one word compared to the person themselves. That's how all the entire creation, when you stack it up against Hashem, the energy of Hashem's essence, it completely doesn't exist. As a result of such contemplation, then the attribute of love, which is in the soul, will, as a matter of course, divest itself of its garments, which it had previously worn. That means the person will stop loving, stop being attracted, and stop being motivated by simply materialism, because that's the way a person, everybody is born, loving and wanting more materialistic things. And the more you contemplate, the more you prepare yourself, the more your appreciation for the finer things in life will become greater. What are the finer things in life? Spirituality, not materialism. That means love for Hashem will not clothe itself in anything of pleasure or enjoyment, whether physical or spiritual. In other words, a higher level of love is you're not even going to love the mitzvahs because you are excited about the mitzvahs. Because it's making you more. Because as we said, this is an individual who is completely self-nullified. It's not about yourself. What is it about? It's about making Hashem happy. I'm not here to make me happy. mother says to the kids, "I think I'm here for me. I'm here for you. Every breath I take from the morning till the night is all about you." And the same thing Hashem says we are each capable of doing. So first we have to become recognize. We have to recognize and become sensitized to the fact that spirituality is the currency and not materialism. Once we have appreciation that spirituality and mitzvahs and Torah, some spiritual things that we should be excited about, then we go to yet higher level. We say it's not for us that we're doing it, not so we should get greater, but because Hashem should be happy. We're going to make Hashem, we're going to make God happy, our Creator happy. And that is what we are saying. And as it is written, "Whom have I in heaven to love other than God?" The verse goes on to say, "There is nothing upon earth that I desire with you." The next verse continues, "My flesh and my heart yearn for you, rock of my heart." The various levels of a Jew may attain by contemplating, we'll explain in later chapters. So this is what we're explaining here, that there is this higher level of the two levels. We spoke about two levels, therefore, of fear of Hashem. Yiratzatah, Yirayla. We spoke about two levels of Avas Hashem, Ava Rabba, which we explained is impossible to obtain, because what it means is that you have no excitement or desire or pleasure at all in anything that's material, and all you want is spiritual. That's impossible, because we are physical, unless Hashem gives a present to a great tzaddik, and that's just a gift that comes from heaven. Otherwise, we have to wait until the neshama leaves the body and goes to Gan Eden to have that level of love of Hashem. But the lower level of Hashem, fear of love of Hashem, rather, which is called Avas Olam, the Alter Rebbe translates as a love of Hashem that comes from meditating and contemplating on the space and the place of creation in our life, and how Hashem's energy and essence is in all, is all around us. So that, it says, any person who thinks, any person who is able to meditate and contemplate according to their level of contemplation, the latter quality of love sometimes precedes fear, the Alter Rebbe says, according to the quality of the das that fathers it.